In the words of St. Paul, God forbid that we should glory in anything but the cross of Christ. Amen. How can someone steal your identity? Well, these days it's easy enough. A thief simply applies for your credit card or for a new credit card using your name and your date of birth and your social security number. And then when they don't pay off the card, it shows up on your credit. Or else they call up Visa or MasterCard and they pretend to be you and they change the mailing address of the account. And because your bills are going to another address, you don't realize there's a problem until it's too late. In such cases of stolen identity, victims are out the loss of time, money, reputation, and damaged credit. But even worse than this, the victims relate how they feel personally violated because someone else has stolen their identity. There are far greater evils, however, in this life than the identity theft caused by credit fraud. The great identity theft I want to talk about this evening is the evil that has robbed us all of our God-given identity and has stolen life from us. This is the great evil that Christ, in his love for us, was willing to confront upon the cross. In order to restore our identity, Christ had to be robbed of his true identity on the cross. Good was punished as if it were evil on the cross. God punished our evil in Christ so that God could restore our innocence once again in Christ. Well, why did any of this need to happen? Because sin and Satan are very accomplished identity thieves. They had previously robbed us of all our spiritual identity as children of God. Both Satan's actions and sin's activity within us had literally ruined our credit and our credibility with God. And so Christ alone could deliver us from this evil by allowing himself to be nailed to the cross. Whenever you pray, "Deliver us from evil," in the Lord's Prayer, you need to think about what Jesus did on the cross. But to pray this petition properly, you must also understand the true identity of evil. But this is kind of a problem in our culture, for evil no longer has a name or a face in our postmodern world. In fact, these days, any suggestion that people are sinful or that there's a real devil out there as the explanation for why there's evil in our world has all but disappeared. These days, sin and Satan are viewed in our society as a myth imposed upon them by the church in order for the church to subjugate people to live by its rules. Though anecdotally, the existence of evil is well documented. We see it every day on the news. What with murders and genocide and acts of terrorism and other violent crimes reported in the news every day, still strangely, evil gets denied in our world. And without the biblical understanding of evil, people still experience it, they just no longer can point to it and identify it. Evil has lost its identity, and now people live only with the consequences of evil every day in their lives without understanding its true causes. In fact, anxiety and depression may be the strange sensation of our having come into personal contact with evil without our even knowing it. This has also created a huge problem in bringing people to repentance. For if you do not acknowledge that there is sin and that you are a sinner, then you will certainly almost never recognize that you need a Savior. And so this current thinking in our society threatens to empty the meaning of Good Friday. Today is Good Friday, the day that our Lord Jesus died for all the collective evils of all mankind. On this day, good and evil come into focus. They collide on the cross. Christ, who knew no sin, becomes sin or evil for us. In fact, good and evil become locked in mortal combat. And yet, even as Jesus wrestles with evil, he would remain faithful to God and good even unto death. It becomes easy to identify good and evil in the events of the cross. For you can see the undeserved love that your good and gracious God has for you by sending his Son to suffer such unspeakable evils for you. And similarly, you cannot miss or mistake the role that evil played in the death of our Lord. For as the Bible says, evil men crucified the Lord of glory. Everyone's into these forensic shows these days on TV, like CSI. Well, no longer are we left with only a footprint or a fingerprint of evil at the crime scene, because now in the cross we have clearly seen the face of evil. For evil stepped out of the shadows on the day Christ died so that we could identify it. Evil reached its apex in those who called for and carried out the crucifixion of the sinless Son of God. Evil joined forces with evil on that day to crucify sadistically our Lord. We know that, but much to our surprise, we don't realize that even though we literally weren't the ones who drove the nails into Jesus' hands and feet on the cross, yet it was also our evil that created the need for our Lord to die. You see, we are part of the face of evil. We are that great collective evil that nailed Jesus to the cross. Jesus didn't just die for the sins of others. He died for the sins of you and me. You, as much as I am, are caused the bloody and terrible event we know of as Good Friday. It was your spiritual indifference and mine. It was your moral disobedience and mine. It was your lust for sinful pleasure and mine. It was your quest for self-exaltation and mine. It was your often denied hypocrisies and mine. It was your great spiritual pride and mine. It was your callous and unforgiving heart and mine. That is the true face of evil. And so if you want to see the true face of evil, all any one of us has to do is look into the mirror. For even though evil certainly exists outside of us, it also surely lives within us. We won't ever get the meaning of Good Friday until we understand that it is not they who are responsible for the death of Jesus, it is we. Evil's desire to punish God and God's great need for his justice to punish evil is very evident in these events. And yet what we sinners intended for evil by crucifying Jesus, we know that God intended for good. For it was not just evil that nailed Jesus to the cross. God's grace and God's goodness were also far more responsible for these events of Good Friday. And as someone has said, even if the nails had not held Jesus to the cross, his love would have certainly held him there. You see, on the cross, Jesus overcame evil by doing good. Our Lord made the decision to die for the very ones who wanted him dead. And so, in the passion of Christ, we truly see evil at its worst, and we see God at his best. We see evil in Satan coercing the hearts of sinful men to carry out unspeakable evils upon the sinless Son of God. In the passion events, we see greed and betrayal and slander, brutality and idolatry, intrigue and vice and violence and murder. These are but some of the great evils that stand out on the day that Christ was crucified. But we also see God's great love for us, that he would die to reclaim us as his people and to restore the identity that we had lost as children of the living God. For just a moment, the cross made it seem like Satan had won and that his plan to destroy God's Son had worked, that evil had won the day. For God looked weak and helpless on the cross. And yet, in retrospect, we can look back now and see that the cross was God at his wisest and strongest and most loving moment to save us. Christ willingly allowed himself to be overcome by evil so that by God's grace, you could be seen as God's goodness. So Satan is an identity thief. Satan wanted to steal away the glory that rightfully belonged to the Son of God. This caused evil to mock Jesus, to strip him of his dignity, to make him suffer alongside common thieves and criminals nailed to a painful cross. Sin did to Jesus what sin has already done to us, but to a lesser degree. For like us, it robbed him of his identity, and he would suffer forsaken and alone. For our true identity is found in having a right relationship with God. When Adam chose to sin, all of that changed. Adam's identity was altered drastically when he went from saint to sinner. And ever since Adam, we have suffered the same loss of identity, as sin continually robs us of confidence in our relationship with God. But my friends, the hopeful message of Good Friday is that now in the cross, your relationship to God has been forever and finally restored. In fact, you have only to believe it, for it has already been fulfilled and it has already taken place on the day that Christ died. Whenever you think about the depths of evil that Jesus endured on the cross, hell must enter the equation. For hell is that place devoid of all personal identity. It is that place where God no longer knows you and no longer acknowledges your existence. That loss of identity happens in hell because it is a place of eternal separation from God. If you really stop to think about it, it is the perfect punishment for those who throughout their lives evilly desire to establish their own separate identity apart from God. Hell is just granting evil's request to live separate from God. And so beyond the physical and emotional evils of the suffering and death, Jesus also suffered hell because he was forsaken by his Father. Why did the Father forsake Jesus? Why did he abandon his Son? Because for those hours on the cross, God did not see his Son suffering. God saw your evil dying on that tree. The well-deserved punishment for your evil life was being completely dealt with and paid for on the cross by Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus took our evil identity upon himself to such an extent that he actually became sin or evil in our place, that he switched identities with us on the cross and traded or exchanged his innocence for our evil. That's the one form of identity theft that we don't dread. We delight in it. For Jesus didn't really steal our identity as much as he returned it to us and restored it to us, what sin had taken from us. Jesus swapped identities with us on the cross. He suffered the evil so that you would only experience the good and have confidence in God's grace towards you. It is through faith in this great conflict between good and evil that gets resolved on the cross, this great exchange between good and evil, that Jesus restores our identity as God's people. And once again, you and I find ourselves in a right relationship with God as we look upon the cross in faith. That, my friends, is Good Friday. That, my friends, is grace. That, my friends, is the cross. Amen.